Is that a protest beer?
Hell yeah, they all are.
$2.50
$2.50
Yeah, so just prepare to.
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Please.
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and undebatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Undebatables, your Pacers audio hour and member of Almighty Baller Radio. Today is May 21st, 2017. Company from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're discussing the rest of the second round, previewing the conference finals and the upcoming draft, and we've got another Undergoogables question. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Quick shout out to Culture. Last night, took in a movie at the AFI Silver Spring, right down the road from me. Last Men in Aleppo. It's a documentary about the White Helmet Brigade, which is part of the resistance force, but also basically they, anytime a building gets bombed, they rush to the scene and try to get whatever civilians are in the rubble out, and it just follows them around. It's just breathtaking footage and realism, and a really important documentary that I think everybody should go see. So if it's in your town, go check that out.
I've seen actually some footage from them before. It was incredible, like this saving just children and you know whoever they can get to.
Yeah.
So that's super cool. I'll definitely check it out if it does play in my town. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? I hate to start this out on a sad note, but I want to give a shout-out to my Long Branch family. We unexpectedly shut the doors this week. I want to shout-out to all the people that came and supported us. I still believe that restaurant would have been a success. We were doing the right things, but sometimes things don't work out. Opening a restaurant's incredibly difficult. Anyway, yeah, just a sad week on this end here.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What up, fellas? I'm just shouting out to you guys. Feels like forever since we've all been on the same show, so I'm stoked.
Yeah. This is a good week for it. Mm-hmm. I need you guys.
I want to give a shout-out to my wife, Catherine. Today is her birthday.
Shout-out!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Catherine.
Unfortunately for me, she's traveling and is away from me right now, so I can't give her proper birthday wishes, but I'll see her soon. We got a hot-button topic here. Isaiah Thomas out for the rest of the playoffs. I don't know that it's going to matter. Cavs are killing it right now. What do you guys think about Isaiah Thomas's injury and performance so far this season? Harper, what do you think about that?
Well, it's a shame. Boston never really looked like they had a chance in this series. The Cavs are just playing a different level of basketball. But Isaiah Thomas has just had a spectacular season. He's just fun to watch. It's well documented, the sort of personal tragedy that he had going into this offseason. So he was kind of the guy left in the playoffs that I was really rooting for. So it's sad to see him go down and not be able to finish out his season on the court like I know he wanted to. There were reports that, he tried to get himself put back into game two, and in spite of the doctors telling him that wasn't a thing. just a tough kid and a tough year and a great performance. And, you know, those kind of performances are why we watch the NBA, right? I mean, he's been a great athlete and a great ambassador this year. So it sucks to see him go out like that. I don't really think it matters in the big picture, but it definitely takes away from the experience for us basketball fans.
You hit it there, Harper. Just a tough kid. I mean, this is a guy who had a broken jaw and lost some teeth. You know, not even mentioning the personal tragedy of losing his sister. Just going out there and laying it on the floor, leaving it on the floor. You know, he put up that 53 performance in game two of the Wizards series, and then a beautiful closeout game in game seven against the Wizards. Just really fun to watch, and he's shorter than I am, so it's crazy.
Well, and that game seven performance apparently was through a fair amount of pain. I guess he re-injured his hip in game six of the Washington series and then played through it I think he dropped like almost a triple-double in that game, leading Boston to the win in the deciding game seven. Yeah, I mean, this guy's a warrior, you know, and we love... I mean, he's a Celtic. He's not a warrior, but
he's a gladiator. If he was a warrior.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you're right. It does not change the outcome of this series, but the only hope they had of winning a game was with Isaiah Thomas. This thing's over.
And I look forward to having him on the Pacers roster when the Celtics trade him for Paul George.
Yeah, me too.
2 weeks.
It's going to be a great addition.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I might be as tall as him, so I always cheer for the little guys.
In other news, the All-NBA teams came out, which are always just there. It's fun to see what people think, who the best players are, and now it seems to affect contracts and whatnot. First team, and a lot of these were not even close, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard as forwards, Anthony Davis center, and Harden and Westbrook as the guards. Voting-wise, everybody was – Harden was unanimous. LeBron and Russell had 99 first-place votes. Kawhi had 96. Anthony Davis, that actually was much closer, had only 45 first-place votes. Pretty good.
That's the first team that we all picked when we did our predictions. I think everybody's happy with that, right?
Well, it's not. I think Harper got it, and you and I were wrong.
Had Gobert. Yeah. But, you know, I think we were comfortable with that as an option.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I started with Karl-Anthony Towns, who made zero of these teams.
Right.
Before you guys talked me off the ledge, and I went with AD.
NBA All-Second Team. Forwards are Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kevin Durant. Center Rudy Gobert. Guards Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas. We were pretty much all in the ballpark on these. Any surprises for these?
Nothing surprising. Until...
Yeah. NBA All-Third Team. Forwards Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. DeAndre Jordan at the center. And guards John Wall and DeMar DeRozan. Jimmy Butler. That doesn't say Paul George at all.
And there were no ties this year. That's what I don't get.
Nope. Not a single one.
I was so confused by this. I was so sure about the ties.
You bet heavily on the tie.
I went all in on the ties.
So, I mean, yeah, I think not a super shock to Pacers fans. I think Jimmy Butler was the better player all season long. What was a shock to me was the disparity in voting. Like, you look at total points, and I think Butler was in the 130 range, and Paul George was, like, at 40 or something like that. So, like, it wasn't even close in voters' minds, which was the shocking thing to me. And then, obviously, so the let's just dive right in, I guess, to what this means for the Pacers, right? So had Paul George made one of these three All-NBA teams, the Pacers could have offered him the Supermax, an extension of 5 years and $210 million, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And now they can only offer him 5 years for, what is it, $180 million? The kicker is that the advantage would have been that the Pacers could have offered something like $70 or $75 million more than any other team.
Than the other teams. Right. They can only offer 4 years, 135 or something like that. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And so now we can only offer $35 million more and an extra year than other teams.
Right.
Exactly. Which is a ton of money.
Sure.
But you nearly double that if he makes the all NBA team.
Right. And it could be more financially sound to sign a shorter deal, right? Because I feel like the salary cap is, if anything, going to keep going up a little bit between now and 5 years from now. So,
Well, so there are a couple things about this. One, we lose the financial. I mean, we still have a financial advantage to sign him to a fifth year and an extra, you know, $35 million or whatever. But the problem with him not making the All-NBA team is that you lack a certainty. Because I think you could have gone to him and said, okay, cool, you made the All-NBA team. We're going to offer you the extension now. And if he turns that down, then you pretty much know he doesn't want to stay on your team. Right? Mm-hmm. But there's a chance that he makes the All-NBA team next year and could make this Supermax again. So we have to go through this again, and that means we have to wait for a year to sign him. There's no reason for him to sign an extension this year now at all. Which means now we're out of the driver's seat and we're in a wait and see situation, and that's probably the worst part about it for Pacer fans.
Absolutely. The alternative is you could go not wait and see and just cash in on his value on the trade market now, which will basically just decline over time. So the question is, do you try to get return of young players and picks right now, or do you wait until the trade deadline when maybe you could get some peak value if somebody wants to add a piece to go for a championship, or get the DeMarcus Cousins deal and get Buddy Hield in a pile of wet leaves from the front yard in exchange. So I don't know what to do.
So I'm officially hitting all panic buttons. I had the weekend off unexpectedly, and I did a deep dive into the Pacer options. At this point, we discussed briefly where we are in the cap situation a couple weeks ago, which says we have about $10 million to play with if we don't renounce the players we have. Right, so if we want to bring back the band, if you want to bring back Teague, you know, CJ Miles, maybe even an Aaron Brooks as your backup point for not very much money, $10 million in the new CBA is not very much. I don't know if you cannot get probably a real impact player at that number. What you might be able to do is get some interior toughness or a veteran leader on the open market. And then sign your guys that you already had and go over the cap. The only names that kind of stuck out to me as I was looking that we might be able to get in that range would be like a Nene or a Sean Livingston, you know? I don't know if that's anything that's going to move the needle for our team. I think if you bring back the band, I think what you're saying is we believe in the Lance effect. And we think with this and one extra piece, we could maybe be a 50-win team. That's your most straightforward, you know, answer. But I don't think it really moves the needle for Paul George and we risk losing him.
Sure. And to Nene, I would say no.
Well done, sir.
No, that was really bad. Don't encourage me.
Does anybody want to do that? Does anybody, I mean, that's where we're at, right? I mean, does anybody feel like we just watched a team that was mediocre all season, that didn't seem to either get along or have the right chemistry to go out and compete every night. But then Lance came in and we won our last six games. Do we believe that that's enough to make what was essentially a 500 team be better than that? Is this a viable option to anybody? Does anybody believe that?
No.
I mean, I think it makes us a better team, but I think that it doesn't make us a contender for the Eastern Conference, even, let alone an NBA title, right? Like, I think that Washington and Boston are going to be significantly better next year. Obviously, this is pending moves in the offseason, but I think Boston or Washington, just by having their core together for another year and their coach together there for another year, is going to get better. So I don't know that maybe that breaks us into the top half of the Eastern Conference. You know,
sure.
This team, if we play with passion for most of the season, I think could be a 50-win team. That gets us probably to the second round, you'll say, potentially to the Eastern Conference Finals. There's still LeBron looming in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, you could argue that we match up against the Cavs better than any other team in the Eastern Conference, though.
And we've got...
by virtue of Paul George.
Playoff Paul George is a top 10 player. Maybe not a top 15 player in the regular season, but I think playoff Paul George is a real impact. So another option is you don't bring back CJ Miles, you just bring back Teague. Gives you a little bit more cap space. Again, not enough to bring back an all-star, but maybe more of an impact player. If you do that, the names I have maybe like a Taj Gibson, a J.J. Redick, or an Andre Iguodala. Mm. Do any of those guys move the needle a little bit for you? The thing about J.J. Redick is you're probably going to have to pay him, you know, between $16 and $20 million. Is he that much better at C.J. Miles for a few million dollars less?
He's pretty good.
I mean, he's shooting maybe, you know, I think he shot 43% and C.J. Miles shot 42% from three, you know, something like that. He's also 3 years older than C.J. And you can sign C.J. over into your cap, so this might not be worth it. But maybe for a veteran big guy toughness down low, it might be worth cutting Miles.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's definitely something this team lacked. Harper, you're ominously quiet over there. I'm really worried about your psyche at this moment, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on any or all of this.
I don't find any of that very compelling.
Okay. I mean, I've got more options.
I keep them coming.
Okay, so none of those work for you. So the other thing is we can... renounce all our cap holds. So basically, you don't bring back Teague. But you'd need to go out and get a... You'd have about $28 million to play with. You'd have to go out and get a point guard because you don't have one. But it's possible that you could bring back an impact player and a point guard. So like maybe you could bring in like a Darren Collison, who's a free agent. Bring him in for 5 to 10 mil and not have to spend a ton of money on your point guard, and then bring in another impact player. Again, not necessarily really moving the needle. So the thing I think that makes the most sense point guard wise is to re-sign Teague, because you can go into the cap with him. So I think you kind of have to hold on to him. So the only way to get more money is to try to trade Monte Ellis or Al Jefferson's contract. Both those guys make $10, $11 million. If you do that, now you've got money to throw at a max or a near max player.
Or you get a piece back.
Sure. So, yeah, what I was saying is you would just trade it to a team that could absorb the contract. And maybe you package that with a draft pick and say, you know, just lose that money. If you do that, you have around $30 million.
Is the market hot for people that want to absorb a Monte Ellis, a Mississippi Bullet, Mississippi
well, it's,
Roller
it, Combo. Well, the thing is, I think maybe it is, because these draft picks are incredibly valuable now, because you don't have to pay them these huge numbers that you're going to have to pay just even average vets at this time, right? So if you get a guy at the 18th spot, you only have to pay him, you know, you're paying him under $4 million a year for 4 years.
So you're willing to pay a guy who can barely be on the court 10 mil. So you've only got to pay another guy four?
Well, you only have to do that for 1 year, mm-hmm. right? So basically it's a year. You're paying $10 million for a year to get an extra young piece that you can have for 3 extra years. So I think that is doable.
I think
you could go to a team that can
If I were a GM, I would not find that math very compelling.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, so me neither.
There goes my whole plan.
They would help you tank, as it were, and get in a position to get another high draft pick the following season. Right.
Well, the thing is, this is our best hope for retaining Paul George, essentially. Because what you do is you trade, you get enough cap space to go after an impact player that shows Paul George that you're serious, that you're competitive. You still have an opportunity to give him that supermax next summer. So, I mean, there's a chance that you could hold on to Paul George if you can figure out how to unload one of these contracts and bring in one of these stars. The timing is really tough, however, because you have to trade Ellis or Jefferson on draft night to be able to aggressively go after free agents, because the top guys are going to go in the first couple days. So you have to have that cap space already. So if we don't trade Ellis or Jefferson on draft night, you know that we're not going that route, essentially.
So the other option, before we get into the draft situation, the other option is the Lance Stephenson at point experiment, which it seems like Indiana, or at least Lance Stephenson, is convinced that Indiana is pondering seriously. There were reports this week that Lance has already lost 15 pounds, which seems like an unhealthy amount of weight to have lost in like a 3-week span. But, you know, whatever. I'm not a professional athlete, so. So you could do that. So if you renounce Teague and then keep Lance at point and then use that money to go get, you know, a two guard or a Taj Gibson type or something like that. Does that make more sense? You know, I guess you could still get a Darren Collison as your backup point guard. You know, so this is kind of your,
or even bring back Brooks. That point, I mean, the guy was a veteran, steady point for us, and seems to like Paul George. Seems to like him. So I mean, that's somebody you could bring back at low dollars for a backup point guard.
He was the leader of our team for
I mean, I think it's worth throwing two or three mil at him.
He made us turn a corner for a half a game.
One of our corners.
Maybe it was a game.
Maybe it was a full game.
You know, GR3 at 2 was a decent experiment. I mean, I think that worked well. I think the advanced stats showed that he played well with that unit. That was with Teague at point, not Lance. But, you know, on some level, you could say we've got a starting lineup that works.
Yeah, I mean, so you just take Lance's PER and stats from that 9-game sample set that we had, and I think that lineup is going to be enshrined in the Naismith Hall of Fame, right? Sure.
Oh, God.
But let's, Joey, give us the other piece of news that factors into all of this, which is the NBA draft lottery was last week. And I think that this is going to shape a lot of our discussions about what the Pacers are going to do this offseason.
Sure. So the draft order, the lottery occurred, and the Brooklyn Nets won the number one pick, but they had already given it to Boston, so it doesn't really matter for them. So the Boston Celtics go number one, Lakers number two, Philly number three, Phoenix, Sacramento, Orlando.
That's enough. You basically had to say the top two, because those are the ones that matter, right? And so what's critical here is that the Lakers had a huge chance of losing their draft pick, but now they have it. And it seems, well, people keep citing this one article and extrapolating that it is now a certainty that Paul George wants to play for the LA Lakers. But let's say that he does. Now the Lakers are in a position to go get him, right? Because they can trade the number two pick, plus a package of other young players. And from a Pacers perspective, this is important because the only other player in the Paul George trade market prior to this was probably the Boston Celtics, right? And so if you're a wheeler and a dealer, then it's good to have to be in a seller's market, right? So you have the Lakers and the Celtics can compete against one another, and you can maybe drive up the price for getting a Paul George. You can get a better package overall.
My concern with the LA thing is that I think they're pretty convinced. Even Magic said at the draft lottery, we're probably going to be pretty quiet this offseason. We've got our eyes set to next offseason. You know, they now have the number two pick. There's no reason for them to trade that or to trade their young assets if they truly believe that they can just sign Paul George outright in the following offseason.
Well, I sort of disagree with that philosophy. Like,
okay,
why not start building now if you're going to do that?
Because right? You're giving up real assets that, you know, you don't want to be in the situation that that New York got into, which is mortgage their future for Carmelo Anthony, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if we take the number two pick and a, you know, a Randall or an Ingram or something, that's pieces that are, you know, useful for them. Or if they don't want, if they really believe in Lonzo Ball and want to give us, you know, D'Angelo Russell, you know, what's their motivation to do that if they truly believe that they can bring? I mean, Paul George is spending the offseason training with Kobe, you know? I mean, I think they think they've got this in the bag. There's no reason to trade for it.
Hmm.
I wouldn't give up young pieces for him.
Well, that sucks for the Pacers.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, if there's one thing we know about free agency, it never turns out the way that we think it will.
Sure, sure.
And I think Magic has been a fan of the NBA long enough to know that. So if you got a chance to get a guy like Paul George, I mean, for what you think is a fair price, I think you pull the trigger.
Especially if you're the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers' plan is to build, get Paul George in. I don't think it's a strong sell for Paul George in free agency a year from now for the Lakers to come to him and say, look, we have all these young dudes that in 5 years are going to be awesome, so you should come play for us. Paul George wants to win now, right?
Right.
So that's not a convincing argument. I think that they would be better served to trade for Paul George now, which puts them in a position to recruit even more another super duper star next year, next summer, or the year after, right? Because you're the Lakers. If you're going to leverage your power to recruit free agents, you should really leverage it, right? And go get mm-hmm. Paul George this year, and go get, you know, I don't think Russ Westbrook, but you know, whatever, Paul Millsap or whoever, right? This offseason or next.
Blake Griffin.
Well, once they sign Paul George, they're not going to have the kind of financial flexibility they would have.
Sure they will.
No,
they can just clear everybody else, and then they're more than willing to go into the tax.
So, but what I'm saying is, okay, so they already have PG under contract, and then they figure out how to give away the Mozgov or Luol Deng contracts. I mean, situation we're in with
if you have him under contract this year, though, then you can sign your other dudes and then sign Paul George to push you over the tax, right? Whereas if you wait until next year, then you can't do that, right? And you can't do it with another big free agent.
Right. Good call.
So I think that...
That makes more sense for them.
Strategically, I think that it's a better move for them to try to push for it this year.
Does anybody think that Boston feels the same way? I mean, they're just getting run off the court against LeBron James. Paul George makes that team a lot better.
I'm looking right now at an article with the... Well, first of all, that there was an article posted to Twitter that Boston got the number one pick, and Paul George retweeted that for some reason, then deleted that. But also, you know, look at an article here. Paul Pierce is saying that they got to do it now because, you know, we've seen the team that they are this year, and I think he's right. Like, they, you know, they're a 50-win team, and you know, they're number one seed in the East, and Paul George makes them even better right now. Like, they're not rebuilding. They're on their way up. And
yeah, if you have Isaiah Thomas, Paul George, and Al Horford as your big three, that's a pretty good thing to stack up against.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. But I think you, as a GM, as David, Danny Ainge, he's looking at this going, they're saying Fultz is the one sure thing in this, you know, and it's never a sure thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, they're saying he's a franchise player, that you can get him, you know, and is a 31-year-old Isaiah Thomas somebody you want to throw the max at for the next 5 years, you know? They could bring in a point guard of the future and still go out in this offseason and try to woo, you know, Gordon Hayward, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure.
So, I mean, they have a lot of different options. They're in the driver's seat at this point.
Well, that's just it. They can do whatever they want. That's the point. Are they going to want Paul George?
Well, if they want Paul George, you know, is giving up the first pick worth it for potentially a 1 year rental? You know, I don't know. Is that worth the future? So,
well, I mean, if it gets you in a position to win a championship, I would argue yes, no matter what. And yeah, then secondly, the goal if you win a championship, your leverage for re-signing this dude is much higher, right?
Sure.
I think it's totally worth the gamble.
Well, the only other problem, though, is, like we were talking about before, this actually does impact them. If they trade for Paul George, they wouldn't have them on draft night. They wouldn't have the flexibility to go sign a max guy, which they do have if they wait. So, I mean, I guess you could
They're making Paul George their max guy. So,
right.
That's not Isaiah's not getting a max contract.
Okay, but what you could do is go out and get Gordon Hayward, wait to trade with us, then trade for Paul George, and you'd have Hayward and Paul George.
I'm not saying there aren't other options. I'm saying Paul George is better than Gordon Hayward.
I agree that he is. Sure. But if you get a both, that'd be good.
What would you do with both of those guys?
Sure.
And Markel Fultz. Figure it out. Yeah.
If the number one pick is out there, they're saying this Fultz kid is legit. I think we have to make that trade. I just think we're there. We got to make that trade.
I agree. Harper, what do you think?
I'm certainly leaning in that direction. Again, you know, I don't know what the conversations with Paul George are like, but I don't see any options to where if Paul George's main thing is we got to win now, I don't see any roads for us to get there. Right. I just don't see any. And so that says to me it's time to pull the trigger and get the best things that you can in return before you lose everything for nothing.
Right. I kind of agree. And I kind of think that even if we do compete next year, that he just doesn't want to be in Indiana.
It hasn't felt like he's just over the moon and can't wait to stay in Indiana. That has just never been the vibe I get.
Right. And he says the things. He's like, I love Indy. You know, he'll scream, this is my city when he's on the court.
Once a year.
And it, you know, I don't know that it rings true to me, which is a shame. I love Paul George. He's probably my favorite Pacer of all time.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
He's in my but top I five think for sure. that, you know, this is one of those, what do you call it, Rubicons, right? Or this is Robert Johnson at the crossroads, man. Like, you got to make this choice. Wow. You got to, like, because if you flub this, if you screw this up, right, this is why you're pressing all the panic buttons, Colson, right? It's because if you mess this up, you set your franchise back for potentially a decade, right? Like, if he walks in at the end of next season, or you get a trade package of, you know, a middling young player and, you know, the equivalent of an Al Jefferson or something like that, that's a disaster for your franchise.
I think we're almost there already. I'm not sure that, you know, the stuff I've been listening to, at least, you know, it sounds like people are really in on this Fultz kid. And that number one pick's probably not going to be an offer. That they'll offer us Jaylen Brown and a Bradley or something like that. But
I think they might offer us Isaiah Thomas before they offer us Markelle Fultz.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that we're going to maybe get potentially a poo-poo platter for Paul George, which is insane to think.
Atlanta offered us 4 first-rounders.
Right. 4 first-rounders.
Yeah. Right.
And we passed.
But that's why I think it's so key that the Lakers got their pick, because you can go to if you're Kevin Pritchard, you have guys that you can play across one another, right? So you don't have to tell the Lakers the poo-poo platter that the Celtics offered you, but you can go to them and say, look, man, Boston has an offer on the table that it's really hard for me to pass up right now, and I have a feeling if Paul George goes to Boston, he's going to love it there, and he's going to stay there forever. So if you want Paul George, what are you going to give me, right? And hopefully you get – and Kevin Pritchard, I think, is a pretty good negotiator, given his – based on previous track record and just my sense of him as an individual. And so I agree. I think the Lakers would be willing to give up much more than the Celtics for – Paul George, And it's just a matter of playing the hand correctly, right?
No pressure, though.
No pressure. But if you could get the number two pick in this draft, maybe a future pick, say Ingram and Julius Randle.
Well, they'll want to give you Russell, right? Because they're going to draft Lonzo Ball.
I'm trading down if I have that pick.
They would want to do that, but yeah. But I would want to extract that pick out of them.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Russell's a nice talent.
You're right. I want to get the number two pick and then trade down.
Sure, yeah.
I don't want any part of Lonzo Ball.
I want no part of Lonzo Ball either. Yeah.
Actually, I love Lonzo Ball. I just hate LaVar Ball.
Right. Right. You don't want that circus coming to your town.
I really don't.
You could also just not draft him. That Fox kid's supposed to be pretty good. He's a point guard.
Before we get too excited about packages of young players and picks, here's the thing that gives me pause about this strategy. If you execute this strategy and you're like, okay, we're going to cash in Paul George for a future, right? We're going to build for the future. Basically, what you're doing is you're turning the keys over to Lance Stephenson for next season.
And Nate McMillan.
Right.
So, your young core essentially becomes Miles Turner, Glenn Robinson III, and Lance Stephenson. You're right. And then whatever young piece you get.
Jeff Teague.
That chunk of package.
No, Jeff. Right. If you're getting the one or two pick, I'd say you cut Teague. You draft a young point guard. You get all the cap space.
Especially if one of those guys is a point guard.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance because we're not going to be paying anybody else. Why would we not pay Teague?
But he's got to get young and bad quick and try to rebuild.
Is that a part of our plan? Is getting young and bad?
I think if you trade Paul George, that's kind of your strategy.
I don't think getting bad is a strategy.
No, the Pacers have not historically done that. You know.
Okay. Let's say you're right.
The Pacers have also not won an NBA title.
Let's say that we don't want to get bad for a long.
We shine in our mediocrity, Jason. Take that away from me.
All right. Let's say we do. Let's just we get one of these. Let's say point guard X young kid that we draft, and some other young piece, Jaylen Brown or an Ingram or whatever. Okay, and then you put that with Turner, GR3, and Lance. You'll have at that point like $35 million laying around because you just traded away Paul George.
Sure.
You could actually go out and get a couple pieces and be competitive. I mean,
I think that you are competitive in the East with that team. Sorry. Like, that team's already competitive.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Sure, but you could go out and get a veteran or two, you know, to add to that team.
Yeah. You could go out
and get a Taj Gibson and a, J.J. Redick. You'd have the money at that point.
Sure.
You totally could, which I think would be a wise move. Or you could get to the salary floor. Get yourself in the lottery again, and then sell the team
for two players.
The Starbucks people. And
Stop it! No. I mean, the thing is, if you waited a year with all of that cap space, you could facilitate trades at the deadline. You could when Monte Ellis's cap comes up the next year, you'd have over $45 million in an offseason with a really good young core. Like, this is not like, I don't mean like get bad in the sense that we would suck for years. This is a fairly quick reboot in my mind.
I think you could do a quicker reboot than say that what the Sixers have done. So,
right.
But I think
the Timberwolves even have done. Yeah.
I've always argued against us having money. Us having money does not matter. No one is coming here. There's no free agent that's coming here. It's not happening.
Yeah.
But you could, I think that there are, I don't think marquee free agents necessarily going to come here, but I think that Colson's right. You could get,
Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson's character guys, right, that will help build the
culture of winning.
Culture, right? Exactly, yeah.
But I don't think you need to get down to the floor to shape the minds of the young guys that you get. Right?
No, not at all. Yeah. I agree.
Because we're not going to sign two max two max guys.
Right? No, I agree.
Out of free
agents. But the thing is, if you make that trade, you're very young. You're basically now shooting for 5 years from now to be a contender, and hopefully LeBron will be in decline by then.
I think you definitely have to get counterweights to, because if you have a bunch of young guys, you got to teach them how to become NBA players.
Right. Culture of winning. Right.
Yeah. And so you have to put those pieces in place, which I think is the problem in other places, that they didn't do that correctly, right? Like, it took Minnesota until last season when they got, you know, KG and these other guys in to sort of mentor these young guys. And they're starting to see the benefits of that.
Oh, God. I see, the thing is, I don't think any of this happens. I mean, I think what happens instead is we do...
You think we re-sign, choke in the open net?
Yeah, we re-sign Teague. We don't trade Ellis. We end up with an extra piece. We roll out the same team and maybe win 50 games. Or the other option is that we do trade Paul George, but not for an exciting young group. And, yeah, we're screwed. I just really don't see...
I can't afford that. My liver can't handle that.
I don't see this working out well. I think I don't want to lose Paul George, but if he doesn't want to be here, we got to make the right trade.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And I trust Pritchard, but I'm not sure that the market's going to be what we want it to be.
I mean, the market is what it is, and you have to take the best. I mean, here's the thing. You have to decide what it is that you're trying to do, and then the market's going to dictate the rest, right? You're going to have to strike the best deal that you can. But at the end of the day, you can't go into this like, okay, we're going to, you know, see what's out there and then maybe we'll make a decision. And, you know, that's not how these decisions get made. You have to decide whether or not you can keep Paul George.
Yeah.
Right.
And then come up with a
plan to do that. Yeah, right. Exactly. And if you can execute a plan that makes sense to achieve that goal, God bless. My problem here is that.
Go ahead. I was going to say, because I think if you have a plan, there are ways to play this to get a maximal return out of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But Harper, you're saying that you think that there's a plan to execute to try to keep Paul George and that we could maybe do that.
I'm saying that there is. I mean, I do think that there's a road to that. I think, like I said, all of my hopes somehow hang on figuring out how to get Paul Millsap. Right.
Sure.
I think if you can do that, then you've got a legit chance of keeping him. You know, maybe somebody else out there thinks that we've got some kind of, you know, line on Blake Griffin. I don't know. But I'm saying, if you're Kevin Pritchard, you have to be saying to yourself, what does it take? What is the thing that we need to keep Paul George? My personal opinion is that we need an all-star, right? So if you think that you have a plan that can get us that, go after it. But if that dissolves, and it likely will with our history of signing free agents, then you have to move on to the next thing, right? And if the next thing is trading Paul George, at that point, it kind of doesn't matter what the market's doing. You just have to maximize return, period. Because just because the market doesn't do what you want it to do doesn't mean it wasn't the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if this is the case, we do what we can to flip Ellis or Jefferson for cap space, try to sign an all-star and move forward. And if that doesn't work, then you go to plan B and trade Paul George.
I mean, I'm not in love with Jefferson or Ellis, so nothing ventured, nothing lost.
Right. But you've potentially had to give up a prospect or a draft pick or, you know, whatever to do it to clear the space. But that's worth it if you really believe you're swinging for the fences and keeping Paul George, right?
I mean, it's worth a risk if you think that there's a 3 out of 4 chance, right? If you think that there's a 25% chance of keeping Paul George, right? But you're gonna push all your chips to the middle of the table on that? That's a crappy decision, right?
Right.
If it's 50-50, it's defensible. But the reality is, I think you've only got that 25% chance of keeping him. So if you start, you know, putting the baits on the hook and people start biting and it starts to line up, then hey, you know, then you take your chance if it looks like things are falling your way. But if that's not going to happen, you can't make a bunch of moves that are, you know, deleterious to the future of our franchise in order to keep a guy who we've got a slim chance of keeping. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not a market decision. It's math.
Yeah. It's penny wise and pound foolish to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're of that thinking.
Well.
I feel like, you're closer to the edge.
Yeah, no, I feel
oh, yeah, we haven't made him feel any better at all.
No. We might have made him feel even worse.
So, yeah, basically that just said to me that there's really no shot at trying to keep him.
Welcome to the era of Lance. Like, just embrace it, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Just relax. He's got this. He's got you covered.
Just relax and
enjoy
the ride.
He's
going to
be skinny Lance. He's going to be all floppy out there.
And he's best buds with Kevin Serafin, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're having
a good
time together.
Snakes everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Okay. Here's what I did. I had a whole unemployed weekend. I spent, a ton of time learning about the cap,
which some people just call a weekend.
I spent a ton of time learning about the cap, trying to figuring out, doing research on these free agents, and trying to figure out what market value would be for people. And I came up with 7 different scenarios that the Pacers could do in this offseason. Only one of them was trade Paul George, because the thing is, he's one of the handful of guys in this league that I think can take you to the finals. And in 30 minutes, you guys talked me into, we have to trade Paul George.
Well, that's because none of us believe he wants to stay. We all want to keep him, but yeah. I just don't think he wants to stay.
Yeah. Ugh.
That sucks. I don't know. Like, we're going to have to do something to change his mind. Like, we've got to, you know.
So basically, the future of this franchise is now solely in the hands of Pritchard's ability to be decent at pitting people together and getting a good return.
Well, I think the step one is the thing that Larry Bird always did a poor job of, which is actually taking the temperature of Paul George, right? I don't feel like I've got a real great grasp on where Paul George actually is, right? I mean,
I don't think he wants to come back and roll out the same thing we did last year.
Oh, he definitely doesn't want to do that. Mm-mm. But I don't really know what the temperature is. I mean, I just, no one is having the conversation with Paul George, or he's being more politic in his answers to questions with the media. You know, what does it take to keep you here? And I guess that's not really a media question, right? That's like a exit interview question, right? Mm. So my suspicion is that, you know, Pritchard laid him out 7 scenarios, right? And all of them involved keeping Paul George, and right. tried to take the temperature on which one of these things would make him happy. And that sort of gives him his, you know, opening salvo of what he's trying to accomplish in this offseason. But the question is, you know, being in a small market, knowing that we probably need a big name free agent, knowing that we're going to need Paul George to be a part of that effort, can we count on him to do that? And if he's not committed to us in the long term, I'm not convinced that he's going to be the kind of advocate that we need as a recruiter.
Yeah, these dominoes are going to have to fall in the right order and at the right time.
And it's going to take a mastermind. And look, like Donnie Walsh and Kevin Pritchard are two guys who I have a ton of respect for and a ton of faith in. But I think the stars are really going to have to align for us.
Oh. Where's Joey next to me where I can hit him in the shoulder? That's where the panic button lays. It's on your shoulder, buddy. It's on your shoulder. I get to smack you.
This panic button hits you back.
That's what I like about it.
Mm-hmm. Panic me and I'll panic you back.
let's switch it up here, Colson. You sound a little bit exasperated.
I have that effect on people.
It's time to cleanse the palate after the last discussion. We want to move to the undegoogable.
Oh, are we doing undegoogables?
That was the plan.
Super excited.
You told us we had to, so.
you said we signed up for it.
In the end, it's going to be better and more true than Google can give you.
Joey, I can't do it this week. I'm just too exhausted. I spent all of my efforts trying to figure out how to save Paul George. Can I do that?
You can, I guess. This is your responsibility.
Well, Jason does a nice job when I'm not around. You got anything, Jason?
Nope. I googled everything I had.
You don't need to know anything else. I love it. That's good.
You know all the things. Well, I guess it's left to me then, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how about this? There is a list of the top 10 Google searches for 2016 for both what is and how to.
Mm.
And instead of actually answering a question, we're going to figure out what the question is. So you guys are going to guess
needs us to
what
answer.
People want to know.
Okay, I like this. It's like market research for us.
Sure, yeah. Our next 20 under Googleables are already set up.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to guess them.
Okay, so that the concept is people start to type in what is, and then it autofills the rest, and we need to figure out the top 10 of each of those, or some combination thereof.
Okay, so I'm gonna guess that most of the what is have to do with STDs.
No.
No, okay.
Okay.
So what is herpes is not number one, is that right?
No, it's not.
That's surprising.
Okay. I think they're STIs now, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
They changed the names.
What's the I stand for?
Infection.
Yeah. Mm. They're not all diseases.
Because they're not really okay. Diseases.
All right. So are any of them...
Well, we had to Google the hell out of that, so problem solved.
What are the things... Are they? Can I get a hint? Are there diseases on there?
There are zero diseases. Think of things that were big in 2016. There are like eight of these things that have to do with something that was really popular in 2016.
Okay. So it's got to be election related, I would think, right?
There's also that.
What is a special prosecutor?
But it's 2016. So.
Okay. All right.
So like obstruction of justice, impeachment, that's not, we're not talking about that.
Those are going to be on 2017.
Yet.
Okay.
What does the fox say? Or no, that was 2015.
Fidget spinners aren't a thing yet, right? No.
Right. Ooh, what's the duck? What did J.R. Smith come in on? A duck board
the
or
funky
what
duck.
Is a funky duck?
Funky duck is that
what
one
is
of them?
Hoverboard?
No.
I think that was the year.
There's
before,
no hoverboard
too.
Questions, but I think you guys are fine. Like you guys can go on some. There's some political stuff here, so
okay.
Think about the big political events of 2016.
All I remember was email.
What is a presidential election?
I think most people know what a presidential election is.
What is the Electoral College?
Definitely one of them.
Well
that
done.
That's number five on what is.
Nice.
And I'll go ahead and give you number four, too, which is what are electoral votes.
Okay.
Sure. All right. What is the Russian pee tape? Is that on there?
No. I'll go ahead and how about what is a superdelegate? That all kinds of falls into the electoral.
Sure. Okay. Right.
What is up with Trump's hair? That wasn't number one?
Think outside the U.S. Think other major political events.
Oh, what is Brexit?
Yeah. Definitely Brexit's on there, boys.
Okay.
What is the European Union?
That's on there as well.
Nice. Okay. Now we're getting it.
What is a euro?
No, that didn't. But basically, we've got... I'll give you what is a... I don't know. What is a caucus is on there? That's pretty random.
Oh, okay.
That's
going to
come up with that. That's pretty random. So you've got caucus, electoral votes, electoral college, European Union, and superdelegate. We basically hit.
Okay.
Okay.
Brexit, we got.
Right.
Brexit, we got.
So there's like three left?
Four. Yeah.
Four left.
Are they politically motivated?
One is about campaign finance.
Okay.
What is a super PAC?
No, specifically the court case relating to.
Oh, what is Citizens United?
Correct, sir.
Nice.
Okay, and then we're out of politics now.
And we're out of politics. So again, we're going to have to think of that. And the number one thing on this is like three from the other list as well.
Is it a Star Wars thing?
No. There's a how-to, so there's an interactive element.
Oh, it's a Pokemon Go.
It sure is.
What is Pokemon Go and how to Pokemon Go? Well done.
And then number six is how to battle in Pokemon Go. Number eight is how to catch a Pokemon.
Dang.
People really wanted to learn about Pokemon Go.
They did like the Pokemon Go.
It was huge. It was sweeping the
nation. Is how to build a birdhouse on the how-to list?
Strangely, no.
Everybody knows how to build a birdhouse, John.
Apparently, I'm the only one that Googles that.
Everybody paid attention in shop class. Come on.
The other ones of greater difficulty in the what is portion, what is Aleppo?
Oh, sure.
And what is the mannequin challenge?
Okay.
Well, what was that?
These were cultural phenomena.
Yeah, what was the mannequin challenge?
I saw people doing it, but was it to raise money or something?
No, there was like a video. It was a music video that was just like people standing around. And then they would play the music to the song
move.
Of the video. And then, you would try to stay still.
Okay.
It was like the Harlem Shake type thing.
Yeah, so like I remember
everybody
that.
Everybody just in your office for something to do. If sure. you're bored, you do the mannequin challenge.
How to move to Canada.
Yes.
Nice.
Number five.
Nice.
Number five.
How to vote.
Number two.
Nice.
And I'll give you number nine as well, which is how to vote early.
Okay.
Okay. Sure.
How to vote often.
That's only on the dark web. Okay.
That's most highly searched by the Democratic Party.
Yes. Yes. Didn't work, buddy. Is one of them a dance move?
Not that I know of. Okay. Although,
no. How to whip? How to nay nay?
No, there's no whipping
the dab,
or nay nay.
The dab, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, how to dab?
That falls under the why did Clinton dab? That's a why.
Okay.
How to have sex? Is that one of them?
No.
I'm just trying to think of like a high school kid or like junior high kids on the internet.
Yeah, but this is
oh. And maybe you should, but
okay.
They know how to have sex.
They've already figured that out.
Yeah.
How do I stop being awkward and irritable?
How to appear funny is on the list.
Ooh.
Okay.
So that was
most. That was mostly
I will give
Coulson.
You that.
How to meet a girl.
No. Yeah. There's not much else left here to get. So.
Okay. Let's break it down. Yeah.
How about number 10 is how do use Snapchat filters?
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Really?
You Google that? Those are just buttons. You press it.
Is how to use Twitter on there? Because I've definitely Googled that.
You got to tweet about
it. No.
That.
But number four is how to make slime.
Mm. What?
Oh, yeah, that was a thing. That was like a cultural thing for the kids. But then.
I missed that.
There were these news stories about kids using slime like every day and like getting rashes and stuff like that. And their parents were still like, yeah, it was like a whole like do it at home thing. You can make your own slime. And then, yeah.
You play with it or something? Or
yeah, basically.
Okay. I was born too early.
Slime people?
The slime people, okay.
And number three, I'm sure I don't need to tell you guys how to do this, how to play Powerball. Apparently people don't know how to play Powerball. Mm.
Sure. Interesting. Well, and I wouldn't want to like ask the person behind the counter. I'd want to stand at the counter on my phone and Google that in line
right.
to keep.
I
things.
Have money. How do I get that?
Yeah,
see, it's well, a dumb question.
I think there's some options though. You can, I don't know what they are. You can double down or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, there is like a multiplier.
Exactly.
How to win Powerball? Because that'd be a better question.
right. Also on the dark web.
All right. Well, there you go. Now we know that people.
Well, I'm encouraged by society. You know, so oftentimes you get bummed about things that are going on in the world. You know, I was reading the paper this morning, and you know, every other story is a bad story. But at least people are engaged. People are Googling
sure.
things.
What
about
is Aleppo? Right.
What's
I mean,
going
good.
On in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what people apparently know how to spell caucus. So.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
It probably auto corrected that for them.
They must have got close because.
Maybe they weren't actually looking up what a caucus was.
Yeah, maybe that's what I saw.
They're looking
the
up
list.
Something completely different.
I don't like the word caucus.
Hashtag muscle man.
Got the word caucus. Shout out, Princess Superstar.
What was that? What was that guy's name? Somebody Beard.
MC Paul Barman.
No. The guy that won the Muscleman Challenge.
It was Hemingway's was, Beard.
Oh,
Hemingway's Beard. Shout out Hemingway's yeah. Beard.
Yeah. All right. I think we need a stat of the week.
Yeah, we do.
Joey, stat of the week.
This week, the number is one, and it's for Fenerbahce. They won the EuroLeague. It's their first title of all time. So congrats to Fenerbahce.
What's a Fenerbahce?
Now you have an undergoogleable.
Fenerbahce is a basketball club from Istanbul in Turkey.
Ah, of course.
I thought it was a form of bocce involving epis and fencing.
I thought it maybe it was Kevin Federline. Bocce.
Better lines. Pro-am bocce league. I would watch that. That's what I would.
That's on HGTV every Wednesday night.
Did John Edwards, the white towel, play on that team?
You're asking if the white towel played there. No, but there are some other people that you may recognize on that team.
Mm.
We were talking about the draft earlier. Former number one draft pick, where everyone thinks is a sure thing. Anthony Bennett.
Tony Bennett. The Velvet Fog.
He just got himself a title.
What Udo? About Orlando Johnson? Is he on that team?
No. It's Udo. Jan Vesely. Datome.
You don't tell me who's on that team.
I just did.
Sorry.
I'm not going to encourage you. But, Colson, this one's for you. Pero Antich is on this team.
Yes!
Too.
Yes!
Land of Antichwities.
That's right. I need some time to figure out the pun here.
Yeah. It's not going to help no matter how much time you have, I've noticed. You know, he slipped out of the league. I don't know. I thought he was on the bench somewhere, but he's back in Europe.
Nope. After he destroyed us, the league found out he was useless. Unless he was, like, only good against us. That's all.
Right. Is that on his resume? It's like, I will kill the Pacers, but that's it.
I will destroy the Pacers. If you need to pick up a guy for a postseason run, 10-day contract, hit me up.
So they defeated Olympiakos in the final from Greece. And,
Olympiakos.
But I'm very happy they beat Real Madrid in the quarterfinals. Mm. So nobody likes Real Madrid.
Was Pero an ant linchpin to that team winning?
Oh, that hurt.
Punched you right in the soul. Yeah.
Oh, that was man. So strained I lost a button.
Last thing we want to talk about, the NBA Finals preview. Cavs and Warriors are going to be going at it here very soon. I guess currently...
Wait, what?
Thought they were they're still playing basketball against other teams.
I mean, technically, yes, the Cavs are up 2-0, Warriors are up 3-0, but so it's Cavs and Warriors in the finals.
Well, to your point, the best player on the Spurs and the Celtics have both out with injury for the rest, maybe not for the rest of the playoffs, but
right. Well, Thomas out for sure.
Yeah,
Kawhi likely
not
going to
play game four.
Think they would just.
Why
shut
would
him
you
down.
Risk his career?
David Lee out.
Right.
The towels are in. Yeah. The white towels are in.
So this is going to be Cavs Warriors starting June 1st.
Wait, before we get to that, can we talk about the Cavs just totally dominating the Celtics in Boston for two games, winning game two by 48 points?
Yeah, that's...
That had to be an NBA record, right?
41 at halftime was an NBA record.
Okay, but 48 overall was not?
I don't...
That's crazy.
What about on the road?
41 at halftime. Oh, my God.
Is 48 on the road in the playoffs a record?
In a conference finals? Like, that's nuts.
I would imagine in a conference finals, that's a gimme. But... All of those things are true in a conference finals. But,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry I put so much faith in you. You guys suck.
You guys could really use a Paul George for your number one pick.
For your whole team. Trade us your coach.
And bless your coach.
You know, it was funny. We did our predictions, I think it was like last week, and I picked the Cavs to sweep. And in my head, I was thinking the Cavs had home court advantage because they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. And then I realized, oh, wait, they don't. So I was like, oh, man, I should revise my pick. I feel bad about that. I bet Boston steals a game at home. I was like, yeah,
nope.
Not even close.
Not close.
So they're up 2-0 as of today recording, and they are going back to Cleveland to finish this out. Out West, Warriors are up 3-0 over the Spurs. Kawhi's out. They said probably would not return in game four. So...
Not going to need game five.
No, probably not.
Probably not. So we're on a collision course. We knew we were on a collision course. I didn't know we were going to be both teams do a faux situation to get to the finals. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Which has never happened in NBA history.
We'll do 11
games tied the best start, didn't it, that the Warriors put up? Didn't 11 games tie the longest winning streak to open a playoffs?
I think
which the Cavs will tie.
I think I saw that there are two other teams that have done that, I believe, the 11.
But nobody's gone faux all the way to the finals, like Moses Malone said? Wow.
They went faux-five-faux.
Okay, gotcha. Fee-fi-fo-fum.
That's what I'm thinking.
So next week we'll do a full preview of the finals, but initial thoughts on this matchup. Basically, these two teams have retooled over the offseason, but it's basically – no, I guess the Warriors are significantly – their cast is significantly better, having added an MVP.
Unless you really like Andrew Bogut. Colson?
I do love Andrew Bogut. Very important to their defense.
Kyle Korver to the Cavs there, yeah.
I think I like Korver more than I like Bogut.
Then you like Bogut. My initial instincts is that the Warriors are an historically great team, and they will win this. But LeBron James is an historically great, perhaps the most greatest, no, the greatest NBA player of all time.
Is he playing the best basketball of his career right now? No. In this playoff run?
No. He's playing really good basketball.
He looks real good.
Sure.
That year, the first year that the Heat won the title, and he was just like, I'm going to be the most efficient player ever, and he shot like 60% from the floor. That was pretty impressive,
sure.
But this is still up there, and what's more impressive, it's year 14, and he's been in six straight finals, or will be in seven straight finals now.
Right.
Along with
should we make picks this week, or we'll wait until next week?
Sure, why not? I'll make picks.
We can make picks this week, and then we can change them next week.
Okay. I'm going Dubs in seven.
Full seven-game series. The home court wins it?
Yes.
Okay.
Got dub six.
In Cleveland?
Well, I don't see him taking it in five. Okay. But I don't think it's going seven either.
Right.
Joey, I'm going to go for the repeat from last year. Cavs on the road in seven.
Ooh. Okay.
Boy.
Don't tell me it hasn't been done because I seen it.
Because it's been done once.
I seen it.
With my own two eyes.
I don't know. I'm going to take the Cavs. I want to root for the Cavs.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Even Joey is shocked. He was doing that to be an outlier, and you destroyed even that. Colson breaks everything. That's why we can't have nice things, Colson.
Like last year, the Cavs are healthy, which they were not the year they lost.
Sure.
Kyrie Irving was amazing. Kevin Love, healthy, very productive, can be very productive. You got Kyle Korver as a role player. If you leave him open, he will hit a three.
I mean, darn near in the same conversation as Klay Thompson.
Yeah. And you've got Dante Jones as a leader off the bench, too, which I think is And James Jones. Dante Jones will talk trash the entire game from the bench. For sure.
I think here's what I think. I think that Golden State has a higher ceiling, and I think that they can go through bursts of just unstoppable offense, and they're really solid defensively. But I think that Cleveland as a team is on such a roll, and LeBron is desperate to keep climbing the ladder of the greatest of all time. I think he knows he doesn't have that many chances left as he gets older. I think he wills himself to unbelievable heights and takes down this team in six. Cavs in six.
Yeah, I think that he does those things, but he can push it to a game seven. So the thing is that the way that the Cavs are going to have to beat the Warriors is they're going to have to outscore them.
They're doing pretty well scoring right now.
They're doing pretty well scoring, but
they just put up 130 nobody's outscoring on the Warriors. Bosses. Right.
Right. You don't want to get in a three-point shooting contest with the Warriors, which is basically what I think Cleveland's best lineups do. And so, and they certainly, if they play lineups that include Tristan Thompson and Iman Shumpert, they're going to have trouble containing the Warriors because they don't play good defense.
Sure.
So I just don't like their chances in that kind of scenario.
The other part of this is, as you said, the Cavs are healthy this year. Well, it looks like the Warriors are too. Part of the problem last year is that Curry was clearly not healthy.
And Draymond missed a game.
And given a matchup with LeBron, he might miss a couple more in the finals because he makes crappy decisions. Hopefully he's learned from that for their sake. But, I mean, that team healthy is better than any other lineup ever put on a basketball court. I mean, the way they can shoot the ball, the way that they can defend shots consistently makes them better than any other team. Now, what the Cavs are going to try and do is try and parlay what they've been showing, which is this, you know, three-point, you know, lights-out philosophy. They're going to try and flip that on its head when they actually meet in the finals, right? They're going to show them something completely different. They're going to change up the pace. They're going to live and die in the paint, and they're going to try and beat them up in the first game or maybe the second game. Who knows, right? But the Cavs' advantage here is that they think they can play a couple different ways. And they're going to use that to as much effect as they can. I'm with you though, Jason. At the end of the day, they're going to have to control so many aspects of the game against a team with such a high basketball IQ. It's not LeBron high, but it's pretty darn high.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that they can win a 7-game series if everybody's healthy. I shouldn't say they can't. They certainly can.
Yeah.
But I think it's
going to be a really interesting series.
I think it's a very interesting series. Yeah. I think if you're a basketball nerdist, this thing is for you, right? Because there's going to be a lot of chess stuff going on, especially from the Cavs side. It's going to be really fascinating. But they're not the better team, make no mistake. They may not be the smarter team, but they're not the better team.
Let me get Mike Brown coaching against the Cavs now.
Ty Brown Lue is not even an NBA coach, though.
Yeah, but LeBron James is.
I know, and Mike Brown has a lot of experience, more technically than LeBron James.
Sure.
And Kerr might be back. Who knows? He's at least in the locker room.
I think about wraps it up for this week. Next week we'll get a full preview of the Cavs and Warriors series after they finish the formality.
When it actually becomes official.
The formality of the conference finals. But I'd like to thank you for listening. Thanks for being here with us.
You're welcome.
I wasn't talking to you, sir.
Oh, sorry.
The listener. And you too, actually. Glad you're here. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can send us an email, shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. And you can listen to this show as a podcast. If you aren't already, you can listen to, subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast. And if you're on iTunes, you can give us a review. And if you like it, give us the stars, and it helps other folks find our show. We also got some t-shirts for sale.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Sick Leonard, now in the Hall of Fame. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
I just love it when we give Colson a couple weeks off because we always get a wrinkle if we give him a couple weeks off.
The old pop guard. Also a beer guard.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a drinking the beer problem.
From getting to your mouth.
Uh-huh.